This morning, the topic that I was given is this. It's the Good Shepherd. Or the kind of subheading that I added to it is Good Shepherd, Bad Sheep. Or, as one of our youth group teenagers told me, it should be called Good Shepherd, Bad Sheep. You've got to love young people. It's fantastic. And that's the thing. For those of you that have heard me speak before, you know that I love, absolutely love the use of visuals and illustrations, because I think that they really help us to understand a point, be it through story and descriptive wording or through actual physical images that we can see. I'm a visual learner, and so for me, I find it so helpful. And so we're talking about the Good Shepherd and how Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd in the passage that we read earlier. And so in that process of talking about the Good Shepherd, it made me think, well, hold on, what is it that we see? What do we visualize when we think of a shepherd? In our context, I don't know how many of you actually come into close contact with a shepherd on your regular basis. Probably not many. I don't know how many of you guys own sheep. I own none. And it's probably the same for most of you. We do have a hand up the back. There we go. All right. We have some experience in the room. Love it. But that's the thing, most of us don't really get this term shepherd right now, other than what we read in the Bible and that kind of thing. And so I'm like, let's go to Google, the handy Google, Google Images, let's type in the word shepherd and see what comes up. And when I clicked it, the first thing that came up was this image. It wasn't exactly what I was going for, considering that this person in this image looks like they could be at best maybe 4 years old, 5 years old. As you can see, not really what I was going for. And so I'm like, all right, let's look at the next image. And then this came up. I have no idea. I don't know why the sky is green, but we've got, you know, the shepherd here apparently auditioning for Israel's Got Talent and a sheep that is really looking traumatized. And then we went to the final image, and this is what I found. And to be honest, I don't even know what to tell you about that. Those sheep are kind of half sheep, half turtle with a gingerbread man and what hair? I don't even know. So let's just push straight past that. The point that I'm trying to make is that context is important, right? Because when Jesus spoke to the people at the time and he talked about the good shepherd, there was an image that came to their mind. They knew what a shepherd was, what he does, what he looks like, what his role is. And for us to understand this passage accurately, we need to put ourselves in that same headspace. So more realistically, a shepherd's role would look similar to this. A shepherd had to be brave. They had to be courageous. They had to be the one willing to put themselves, their own lives on the line to protect their sheep. It wasn't the four-year-old. It was something more along these lines. I mean, you remember the story of David and Goliath. Well, David was a shepherd boy, and he took on this mighty warrior. See, that is the image that we need to have in mind when we think of this kind of passage. But more than that, we need to think about the sheep. In this passage, the sheep refers to us as followers of Christ, those that are Christians and are believers. But in our society, my question is, what do people think of when they think of sheep? And so you guys are going to help me out here. I'm going to actually take the microphone out to the crowd. And I want a few people to just give me your thoughts. If someone calls you a sheep today, like in today's society, if someone goes, you are such a sheep, what is it that they're trying to say? Like, what? Yeah, just thoughts. Anyone, where are we going? Yep, all right. Tell me, what do you think?
As sheep, we were humans, and God and Jesus and the Lord, we look for them to guide us as a shepherd.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Stealing half the sermon there. I like it. Yep. All right, Lucas, tell me, mate, what does society think of when they call someone a sheep?
Part of the flock.
Part of the flock. Okay, cool. Other thoughts? Do you think it's a compliment if someone says you're a sheep? No, we've got heads shaking over there. I have to agree with you as I jump back on stage. I have to agree with you that I don't think it's quite a compliment. If someone says a sheep, the imagery that I think of, if someone was to call me a sheep, is, you know, sorry? Follower? Yep. I think I heard someone say meek, timid, scared, mindless. Yep, exactly. Mindless. You just kind of, they're the dumb animal, and that's it. It's not a very flattering term. But that's in our context. Back in these times when people heard the term sheep, they thought something slightly different. And in fact, from a shepherd's point of view, The sheep, all right, yeah, they'll admit that the sheep wasn't the brightest of the bunch of animals, but a sheep was something that meant responsibility. It was something to care for, something to look after, something to cherish, something to guard, something to protect. And for those of you in the audience that know, maybe you have a pet. For those of you that have a pet, you could understand that even though it might not necessarily be able to talk back to you, you spend enough time with this creature and you develop a friendship. You develop a relationship. And some of you can relate to that. And for these shepherds, they didn't just clock off at 5 o'clock and that was it. They would spend so much time with these sheep. They would care for it. There was a genuine, solid relationship where the shepherd would know which ones are his sheep and he would know them by name. This is the imagery that we want to come to in this passage as we talk about it this morning. And so that brings me to one of the verses from this passage. You know, numerous times in this passage, Jesus says the term, "I am the good shepherd." And one of them is this from verse 14. It says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me." And so this is it. This is real simple. This is what I want to ask you this morning. This is what I want to ask you this morning. Do you know him? Because he knows you. He knows every hair on your head. He knew you before you were even created. He knows what car you were going to buy, what job you were going to be in, what country you would be living in. The things that you didn't even know about your own life, he did and he does and he will continue to know. So my question is, do you know him? And not just know of him. Because there's a big difference, isn't there, between knowing of our God and actually knowing him, personally knowing him. Believing that Jesus existed, believing that God existed or exists, believing that stuff, that doesn't make you a follower. That doesn't make you a Christian. The devil himself believes that God exists. Of course he does. He quotes scripture in the Bible. So memorizing scripture also doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you a follower. Coming to church on a Sunday alone doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you a follower. There comes a point where we, as the followers, need to make a personal decision to act. And we need to think about what does that mean for us. Not just ticking the right boxes, but the internal, the what's going on the inside. Are we spending time with our Creator? Are we actually trying to get to know him? Are we actually sitting with him? Are we learning from him? Are we being humbled by him and just trying to do everything in our power to prioritize him? I'm not saying that we get it right all the time, and I definitely don't. But what I'm saying is this morning, I think we need to ask ourselves, do we know him? Because he knows us. And after that, there's another verse where Jesus says the phrase, "I am the good shepherd." And this is what he says. And this just shows how much he knows us and how much he loves us. He says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." What Jesus is saying here is that he's not doing this on a part-time basis. That he's not looking after you and loving you on a part-time basis. He isn't going, "Okay, you know, it's a bit late, so if you pray now, I probably won't be able to answer it until morning, so just, you know, write me an email." He's not doing that. He's looking at this and he's saying, I live for the sheep. I die for the sheep. I give up everything for the sheep. I care about the sheep. I know every single one by name. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we have. That is the God that loves us. And that is something truly, truly incredible. And that brings me to the second thing that I want to mention today, the big key point, and it's this, it's that you matter to him. Like I said, every single hair on your head, he knows it. And for those of you that don't have hair on your head, you know, he still knows it. He knows what you used to have, let's put it that way. And that's the thing, right? He loves us so much that he gave up everything. Because when he said in this passage, at this passage, he was still alive at the time, but when he said in verse 11, we talked about it earlier, when he mentioned that he lays down his life for his sheep, for him, that wasn't a figure of speech. He knew what was coming. He knew it, he said it, he lived by it, he meant it, and he proved it. And because of that, you and I can actually get to know him and understand him and follow him. He actually did lay down his life for us. And that is something so beautiful and so essential for us to understand in knowing just how much that we matter to him. And so here's the thing though. In today's society, maybe not right here in Edenza Park or wherever it is, but around the world today, there are numerous instances. You can Google it and you'll see lists upon lists. There are numerous instances of people giving up their life for others, right? We see it all the time. We see it in the sense of people when it's their occupation, so a bodyguard jumping in front of a bullet before someone. You see it in the case of parents really, really sacrificing themselves for their children. You see it in self-defense scenarios where someone will protect someone and it'll cost them their own life. We see it in other countries where there is persecution that takes place, where we see Christians have to physically give up their own lives for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of their friends and their family. We see this all the time. We wish that we lived in a world where we didn't, but we do. Where people do give up their lives for others. But that is a reality. But what makes Jesus so different in that? Because, like I said, there are so many others that have done this and continue to do this. So why is it that Jesus is so significant that he's not just another one of the people on the list that have given up their life? And it's what we read in verse 17 of this exact same passage. It says this, it says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life," here it is, "only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." That is something incredible. That is something truly phenomenal. And I think in church, we can often get distracted. And even though we've heard this before and we know this, we can forget. We cannot live by it. We cannot act by it. But this is telling us that this Jesus that loves us, the good shepherd, the one that cares, the one that protects, the one that knows you, the one that knows everything about you, the one that is open to you, that he doesn't just care and he didn't just lay down his life. But a few days later, he had the power to conquer the grave and to rise again. And that is something truly, truly incredible. And that is the third thing. That's the final thing that I want to mention, is the fact that he didn't stay down. And if we ever forget that, we're losing track of the entire message. We need to remember that he didn't stay down. See, God is our protector, and he loves us, and he cares for us. But he also uses one other analogy in this passage. Not of him being the good shepherd, but we see in verses 9 and verse 10 followed after it. We're going to read it now. It says this. He says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we love. That he says that he is the gate and whoever enters through him will be saved. And I love that because it specifically says whoever. Not whoever as long as they, you know, make sure that they've never missed a church service before. He's not saying you've got to make sure that you are perfect before you are accepted. He said, whoever enters through me. He says that I'm open, that I'm available, that I'm willing, that I love you. But it's up to you if you're going to walk through the gate. He says that the gate is here. I am the gate. And whoever enters through me will be saved. And for you and I, that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. You know, in the same way that we need to ask, do we know him? Do we really know him? We need to ask, are we willing to get to know him? Are we willing to actually walk through that gate if we haven't already? Are we willing to accept the fact that he loves us and cares for us so much? And in verse 10 that we already read, it says that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Like I said, this is the God that we serve. And it is such a phenomenal thing that he cares about us so much that he wants us to have life and have it to the full. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to because he loves you and because he loves me and because to him this was important enough to do. This is our God. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that loves us. And we need to constantly remind ourselves of that fact.